Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Women's Forum. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Gibbs Dube. Today on Live Talk Women's Forum, we are talking about the year 2023. We'll also look at women's expectations for 2024. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. As the end of December approaches, millions of Americans will make pledges to lose weight, save money, or learn a new language, only for most of these promises to be forgotten in a few months. So why do we make New Year's resolutions in the first place? Alex Gendler reports.
As the end of December approaches, millions of Americans will make pledges to lose weight, save more money, or learn a new language, only for most of these promises to be forgotten in a few months. So why do we make New Year's resolutions in the first place? For many in the modern world, the changing of the calendar year might make little difference in our day-to-day lives. But for much of history, humans have lived in agricultural societies where life revolved around the annual harvest. And the earliest known New Year's resolutions were made by the ancient Babylonians. During the Akitu festival at the start of the planting season, the king's power was reaffirmed and people promised to repay their debts and return borrowed farm equipment. The Babylonian 12-month calendar was adapted by other ancient cultures, including the Romans, who made vows to a two-faced deity that simultaneously looked back on the old year and forward to the new. The god was known as Janus, the source of our name for the year's first month. Today, many cultures around the world engage in some annual ritual of reflecting on the past year and expressing hopes for the new one. But the content and even timing of these traditions can vary widely. In the United States, the New Year's resolutions often focus on self-improvement and concrete goals regarding one's personal or professional life. Italians similarly express buoni propositi, or good intentions for the upcoming year. In other places, however, the New Year is a time of making wishes, not promises. Brazilians, for example, take advantage of their climate by going into the ocean and jumping over 7 waves at midnight, making a wish with each one. The Chinese New Year, which falls between late January and late February, comes with a 2-week celebration full of feasts, rituals, and specific objects such as red envelopes meant to ensure good fortune, health, and prosperity in the coming year. And the Jewish New Year of Rosh Hashanah in early autumn is followed by 10 days of repentance where people reflect on the previous year and seek forgiveness for any wrongs they've done. But if the New Year's resolutions are such an ancient and universal practice, why do they seem to fail so often? According to psychologists, the biggest problem is that our goals are often too ambitious, too numerous, or simply too broad. General goals like eating healthier or reading more are harder to stick with than concrete measurable ones like quitting drinking soda or reading 20 pages a day. Long lists of resolutions can be overwhelming and often end up being forgotten. And while it can be exciting to set a massive life-changing goal, a lack of progress early on can lead people to feel discouraged and give up. In fact, New Year's resolutions don't even have to fall on the new year. Marxist philosopher Antonio Gramsci famously wrote that rather than sticking to a ritual for the sake of tradition, we can view every morning as a chance for renewal. And research has shown that resolutions are most successful when they're motivated by a real need and align with other life changes. Even if they don't succeed, resolutions can be an important way for us to take stock of our lives and to remind ourselves that we do have the power to change.
In Zimbabwe, police today barred Umthokazi Republican Party from holding its annual youth conference in Bulawayo, citing security concerns in the city. Police have in the past also barred meetings of the same party and the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change. And back to our main topic of the day. As expected, there were many ups and downs in 2023, the bad, good, and the ugly. As the year comes to an end, today we are talking to women about 2023 and the year ahead. Please stay tuned as we take a very brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are talking about 2023, and we'll also look at 2024. To discuss this issue, we're joined by Mrs. Sibusiso Pepe, a media practitioner and gender activist, Ms. Nomthandazo Nkomazana, a businesswoman living in India, and Ms. Pindile Kocha of the Greenhouse Academy. So, good evening and welcome to the program, Ms. Pepe, Nkomazana, and Kocha.
Thank you. Thank you, Baba.
Thank you very much. So, let's start with you, Mrs. Pepe. Compliments of the season in the first place, and now 2023. What do you think happened in 2023 that we can say, well, it was a good or bad year?
For me, I think the elections were supposed to determine what kind of year it was, especially for women. We saw women stand up and participate as candidates. We saw them participate as observers of the elections, and we saw them participate as vote casters. But the saddest thing was that on the day of the election, they had to wait for several hours for their ballots to be brought to the polling stations. They had to go home and back again to cast their vote, some of them lining even up to beyond midnight. And then after the election, they have these recalls, and they start to hear that their vote didn't count, and they had to be by elections. So for me, what was supposed to be a happy moment where women's voices through the vote were supposed to speak volumes to their citizens of Zimbabwe and shaping their future, really didn't turn out as expected, because it seems like, after all, their choices can be determined by one man or by the court at the end of the day, because the battle is still happening through the judicial system. I think for me that was the biggest issue.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Pepe. Stay on the line. Mrs. Kocha, can you chip in there?
Hello,
yes, thank you so much, Mrs. Kocha. So, what? Give us your highlights of 2023.
2023 wasn't a bad year. Of course, there were ups and downs here and there, but I think it was a not so bad year because I saw mostly women around my space or my networks. They were doing very well. Not to what they expected, but enough for them to survive and look ahead to go through to 2024. So I think it was a not so bad year for me. As someone who works with youth and women, I think we are in the right direction. Of course, one step at a time, but I think we are getting somewhere. So I'm definitely looking forward to 2024. So that we can say, put more energy and increase our goals and look forward to more effective results.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Kocha. Stay on the line. Let's have Ms. Nkomazana in Mumbai, India. Ms. Nkomazana, how are you doing there?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you, Tube.
Yes, 2023. So I'm told it was not a good year for you. Tell us why.
2023, I would say it was I wouldn't say bad as such, because it actually taught us a lesson. You know, as women in the small sector, business sectors, we were hoping after the aftermath of COVID and all, we were hoping that maybe after the votes, we're looking forward for women to be empowered. We're looking forward for women to have opportunities from private sectors or from the government. But the outcome of the elections actually let us down, and some of the women that were in the business, like strong in the business, went forward, and the ones in the small sector actually had to struggle to stay afloat. So I'm hoping we learned a lesson, though, because in the midst of those struggles, we had to look for plan A, plan B, and plan C. And I'm hoping in the next coming year that we are going to implement all those plan A, plan B, plan Cs in our businesses and in our lives also.
Yes, thank you so much. Stay on the line. Notice this kuluma ngolimo labo mama bethu. Ulimi lesiNdebele kula manje. Mandlovu, wena ngokubona kwakho Mrs. Bebe, ubona zani xa sisikhangela u-2024 kwabe kume njani njengoba ukhulume lapha ngokhetho usithi ezokhetho siyabona kwacina sisuka la ma-by-election omama lokhu ababekufisa ukuthi kwenzakale kwachithizwa. So kumele kwenziweni khonapho ke nkosikazi Bebe?
Angikuzwanga kuhle Dube, angazi kumbe i-network yami. Ungaphinda umbuzo njalo?
Ye, umbuzo ulapho ukuthi njengoba uthe kwachithizwa lokho kwakuthathwa okwakwenziwa ngabantu ngesikhathi sokhetho sokusiba la ma-by-elections sokusiba lezi zinto ezinjalo, pho kusiywa phambili ubona zani kusiya phambili kuyakume njani?
Oright, heyi, kusiya phambili ngibone ngani kuzaba nzinyana, njengoba ngisitsho ukuthi abantu ababekukhangelela ukuthi abantu ababakhethayo yibabazabamela ephalamende, kodwa akusena kuqaca ukuthi kuzahamba njani, bayamelwa mbani. Sengikhangele khathesi ibhajethi elethwe ngumphathintambo wezomnotho elama-tax amakhulu kangaka a-affecta ngathi ama-traders, ama-informal traders, intengi zabo ngomama a-affecta ama-home owners, omama kababi nezinye indlu, kodwa sebehle betshela ukuthi lapho zaba lendlu khona siyayithekisa. Okuningi okuthekisayo oku-affect abantu abangomama abavele besazama ukuphakama ngomnotho, sikhangelele ukuthi eminyakeni ka-2024 kusazoba nzinyana kakhulu. Sekhala ezindama-civil servants, imbijana naleyi ingosane uhulumeni edibanika yona ngama-US dollar uthi uzabe seyithekisa layo esefaka ku-pension. Ngakho-ke kukhangani, hhayi kusazoshuba ngoba umnotho wethu ubungaphakami kakhulu ukuthi thina njengabantu abaphansi sikuzwe. Yebo, uhulumende uthi yena umnotho wethu ukhulile, umnotho wethu susiya ezingeni eli-internationally, usudlala layo kuma-global market. Kodwa thina njengabantu kazana asingakuboni lokho, kasingakuzwa, ngoba nxa sihamba ezibhedlela sithola kungela madokotela, amanesi ashiya ayahamba, odokotela bashiya elizweni bayahamba.
Yes, siyakuzwa kakhulu ke nkosikazi Bebe khona ngapho ubambe ungayikatshana ke siye kumama ugotsha ngizokuthiwa ke isedrop ifone. Khanyazana ama-lines ngazani ahlupahlupha ke umakhalekhukhwini. Gotsha usuphendukile mama? Ye, khanyazana kakaphenduki. Uthi siye kumama uMiss Nkomazana khona ngale Mumbai, India. Sizambuza ngesilungu. Looking at 2024, what are your expectations, Ms. Nkomazana?
I'm expecting women, or not only women, I'm expecting the youth actually, including the women and everyone else, to redirect their focuses, because most of the time, like, those people that are unemployed or not employed and are depending on salaries, nothing, the salary is not enough for them. So I actually urge, and I'm looking for them to actually expand. to look outside their comfort zone, because the city is economically sliding down, but we have natural resources everywhere. We have got things that can make us money. We've got things that can build us, irregardless what we have cash or not. We can start from... 2023 was actually an... Because around us, we've got resources that we are not using. That are where they can... I'm looking forward for everyone to actually get out of their commons to use what we have to thrive in our lives.
Okay, thank you very much. Say your last words, because it's so good you've been here today. So your last word, Ms. Gomazana?
Last words.
Your message to
the last word, especially I'm aiming to the youth right now. Zimbabwean youth are hardworking. Zimbabwean youth are go-getters. So my last word will be, go out there and get everything that you need to live.
Powerful words. Thank you very much. You can now do your normal things that you're doing there, your business. Siyabonga kakhulu ke unkosazana nomthandazo Nkomazana ubekhona khonapha ke elathi. So siyabona ke abantu, they are posting messages on our social media platforms. We've got Mvundla who says there's a lot that Zimbabweans have to learn because we are suffering as Zimbabweans. Then we've got Max Mpuni, Max Ngumalo, actually, sorry. So he says, please make sure that you get us on board as well. We want to talk, Mr. Dube. No, we'll try by all means to get you into the program. So you can always get in touch with us right now. Check on our Facebook pages, leave a message there or your phone number, then we'll get back to you. So let's get back to Mrs. Pepe. So Mrs. Pepe, we know that many youths, many women, you know, are having serious challenges. You know, some are in rural areas, they don't access the most basic needs. So tell us about those needs that women are looking at in 2024.
You are saying young people, in terms of young people.
Yeah, even people of your age, you know, Mrs. Pepe.
Right, I think we are going to see the worsening of social amenities and this government really steps up in a big way. We also have the private voluntary organization bill or act hanging over us waiting to be signed by the president. A lot of the needs that were being met or by NGOs and civil society, we don't know if these will continue to be met in the year 2024. Is the president going to sign that bill or not? If he does, we will wait to see how it's going to impact the operations of these organizations. Otherwise, I think, like the last speaker said, we just need to be really vigilant. Zimbabwe is our country. It's the only home we have. We need to think positive, look for opportunities, and look at whatever opportunities that arise as opportunities for everyone. Because I realize that some people have been grabbing, you know, opportunities that some sectors will look at as partisan. Of course, they may be partisan, but if there's a way to benefit from them, I would urge our young people to just take them up, because 20 years will pass by and you have nothing to show for it. So, yeah, 2024 is just the year to just participate, stand up for yourself, speak out, don't be found left behind. I know that technology hasn't yet reached our, you know, most remote areas, and so participation at the fullest level is difficult, but that is why we need these voluntary or CSOs to be operational so that they can be able to harness as much of the civic voice as possible.
Now, Mrs. Pepe, we know that there is a lot of drug and substance abuse in Zimbabwe. We saw Mr. Melin Dlovu and Mr. Roland Dube cycling all the way from South Africa, Midrand, to Bulawayo, you know, saying no to, you know, to drugs. And at the end of the day, they're just highlighting, you know, these issues so that people may be aware of the dangers of drugs and other substances. So now, what's the impact of that on women? Let's say the cycling, somebody traveling 865 kilometers, you know, using a bicycle, just to highlight some of those things. So can you say something about that? So what could be the impact, Mrs. Pepe?
Do the IPA. I can hardly hear you.
Oh, yes, I know that the lines are very bad. So I was referring to drug and substance abuse. So, and I know that there are some women that are affected. And we know that there are some cyclists who cycled all the way from Midrand to Bulawayo to highlight the dangers of drugs. What's your take on that? And does that have any impact on women?
You're asking if drugs have any impact on women.
That's right, yes, yes, yes.
Of course they do. They do have an impact of women on women, and I think the general community, but I've noticed that it's not just young people. Of course, the highlight has been on the impact of substance abuse by young people, but we found that even the elderly people are now taking substances. They are doing drugs as well. They are taking alcohol more than normal just to get over the pressure, to get over the stress. Sadly, some of the women are even participating in the trade of drugs because it is a quick way to make money. They are not able to participate in the formal economy. So for them to make quick money, they go for the illegal substances and are operating in the illegal sector financially. And that is a huge impact on how women are being affected by drugs. But I think worst of all is the death and the suicide. These drugs are leading to where young men and young women are finding it hard to cope with ordinary life, with not having employment, with not being able to participate in the economy. And when they take these substances, they start to think it's the end of their life and they want to themselves. I think for me, that is a big tragedy that our country needs to face at once.
Thank you very much, and stay on the line. We've got uSiyahamba, a caller lapha ke. uSiyahamba ukhona ecingweni. Siyahamba, siyawamukela kuhlelo ba.
Siyaphila njani baba?
Siyaphila kunjani kona ngapha lapho khona?
Kumnandi kakhulu imvula, kuphela sibona imvula lapha.
Yes, sizokuthiwa sibili, hayi kunzima, kuyajaya sibili. Kuhle kakhulu lokho. So akusho ukuthi 2023 wena umbone ubeme njani? Kona ngamehlo akho la.
Lo mnyaka bekume kakhulu lo mnyaka. Besibheke ukuthi maybe after ama-elections kuzotshintsha elizweni lethu, sibuyele khona laphana esazalwa khona, siyejabula silaphana. Manje sibona izinto zakhona zilokhu ziyatshintshatshintsha, azimi kahle. So asakwazi, nethemba lakhona sisenalo.
Ye, so-ke ungafisa ukukhuluma ngesihlobo bani esinye njalo? Ukhulume khonapho.
Hello?
Nelisa ukukhuluma ngesishona kumbe ngizwe ngazani kungasizama
Network yami iyakhathakhatha.
Okay, so all right, qhubeka sibili ukhuluma ngesiNdebele. So nxa sikhangela-ke khonokho-ke wena ongazani ubhekane lakho lapho khona, uthe ungaphi khonapho njalo ubhekane lani ngo-2023?
All right, mina ngilapha e-South Africa.
Aha. So kuyini obhekane lakho singathi kungazani kade ngani kuyasinda? Ngalo uyangizwa yini obey? Ye, kukhanya ngazani ke incingo azihambi kahle ngoba kukhanya ngazani kuna izulu elikhulu kwele South Africa njalo le Zimbabwe. Lo nkosikazi Bhebhe labe sithi hayi kuyasinda sibile endlebeni lapha nxa sikhuluma laye, kakuzwakali kuhle kangako. Mrs. Bhebhe, lokhu khona yini ecingweni?
Yebo, Dube, uphinda njani mbuzo?
Ye, wothi ke mbuze ke khonapho ukuthi nxa sikhangela u-2024 ufiselani abantu beZimbabwe?
Ngifisela abantu beZimbabwe okuhle, ngifisela ukukhula empilweni zabo financially, in terms of impila kahle nje, quality of life yabo. Ngibafisela ukuthi babe nelindi nje, uhulumende abazi abazwele abayenzele konke akuthindisayo ukuthi manje sithi khona middle income economy by 2030 sikubone kuwo wonke umuntu, singakubone kuphela kulabo abaphethe amandla.
And what do you expect from the government?
I expect the government to live up to its promises. We have seen them do a lot in terms of infrastructure development here and there. I'm hoping they can do more. I'm hoping they can do even more in terms of social services, because where we really feel the impact, we would like to see a lot of government intervention in hospitals. We would like to see them do more in education. My government intervene in the roads. The roads are bad. We've had thousands of accidents over the holidays, and it's just unbelievable. If they cannot fix the road where the money comes up front before people even use their cars, because they now even have the NARA standing on the road checking for car registration, why can't government ensure that the NARA is fixing our roads in life? Because it's now a livelihood issue.
And there's one thing that is going to touch many Zimbabweans, the passport fees. Say something about that, the passport fees.
The passport fee is definitely very high, considering that it's a national document and people have to be free to move around. And this is a document that everyone has is entitled to, like a national document, an ID and a certificate. I think government has to realize how much it is impacting, especially on informal traders who depend on these documents to get about and make money. And if they don't consider the fact that Zimbabweans are suffering in countries like Botswana and South Africa because they have been called illegal immigrants, they are worsening this situation by making the passport fee unreachable for most Zimbabweans, because they will be forcing them to cross the border without documents. So sometimes I wonder if they really sit and think through some of these policies, the long-term impact that they have. The women won't have access to an economy, and ordinary people won't be able to cross the border legally if they cannot afford a basic travel document that they are entitled to.
And lastly, the water situation in Bulawayo, Mrs. Pepe. I think we cannot leave this show without saying anything about it. So can you say something about that?
It's a very bad situation, Nomzana, considering that we have a cholera outbreak in the country. I think still not clear how it is being handled and how it will be controlled. We now have been on the critical water list for over a century now. And of course, this government has tried to push the Zambezi Water Project through the Gwaishangane, but may we see faster projects or faster movement on that project, because it is now a licensing issue. It is no longer just about access to water, but we are having people dying because of lack of access to water. There was a time when even now I was known as having the cleanest water, but now we are having muddy water coming through our tap. I'm glad that we have a mayor that is even willing to engage our government and the minister on these issues. And we hope that 2024 will really see a movement in terms of the improvement of our water situation. But currently it's really, really scary.
Thank you very much. That is Mrs. Sibusisiwe Pepe. She's a media practitioner and gender activist based in Bulawayo. Siyabonga kakhulu. Signing off from Washington, this is Kip Stube saying good night.